CliffCentral.com.
It is a Friday morning. It is the end of another month. April Fool's Day is tomorrow, so don't fall for any of that bullshit because it's just tired and old, right? Nobody. Does anyone take April Fool's Day seriously anymore? Certainly not me. It's ridiculous. Nope. It's like the oldest, dumbest jokes come out on April Fool's Day. Anyway, we've got Ben with us. We've also got Meow. Is that Meowses still or is that Hopkins?
No, Hopkins is out and about, although it's raining. He's probably out with his girlfriend. Rain.
Yeah, oh, right. He's got this, okay.
He's got a romantic really, walk.
He's got this really pretty girlfriend who, cat politics. Let's not go into it.
You got so defeated.
No, well, you remember I told you when Daniela moved in, she had her cat, right? And this cat bullies the fuck out of Hopkins. But now Hopkins' girlfriend literally stands up for him and then fights Daniela's cat. So this poor guy, I mean, he's the smallest of the building here. He's a petite little cat. And Hopkins' girlfriend has grown up subsequently because she's now like, I don't know, 2-3 years old. And she lays the hammer down against Daniela's cat. Fights
so,
Hopkins
in other words, Hopkins is just a bit of a beta male.
No, I mean, I think he's a really cool guy. I think he tries hard, but in the animal kingdom, Gareth, size means everything. And Daniela's cat, she's a real big chungus. She's big girl. Very well athletically structured.
Ma'am, it's ma'am.
She's an absolute sweetheart, but she's also an absolute motherfucker. She wants to fight these cats all day. She's like the John Jones of female cats.
Well, we've got to talk about something which I think might be helpful to a lot of us because I'm still struggling with this despite my advanced age. When you have a bad habit or bad behavior, or you're just stuck in a bit of a rut, I think this is such a useful question. I don't have any answers, but maybe. Anybody who's listening does, and you can always call us or drop us a message if you want to. We want to hear from you. Like, how do you reset when you are in a bit of a funk? How do you reset if you are doing something that you know you shouldn't do? If you're eating things you shouldn't eat, if you're behaving a certain way that you just don't, you know, it's not good for you, long-term, and perhaps you need to break out of that. It's fucking hard to do that stuff. It's really, really difficult to, like, be able to objectively look at yourself in your life and go, right, there's something I need to reset here, and then to do it.
So, you know, when you say that, it reminds me of Gord back in the day when Gord was still ginormous. And he said, yep, like, you know, it's so frustrating that the things I used to do don't lose the weight. But mm-hmm. he was trying to reset. And, you know, like having mechanisms like this, like I'm going through this now, like I'm trying to reset on stuff because I've fallen off the rails that I was on.
Right.
You know, obviously to get back to our first hour conversation about the cold plunges, like it's a hard reset for me that there's absolutely no option. It's get in that fucking water. You hate it. It's horrible. It sucks. It's going to suck. Every day it sucks. But you do that, suddenly everything else becomes easier. And that's like a good reset for me. So, you know, people go into like maybe gambling holes. Maybe they get into heavy porn or eating bad or drinking or not exercising. Like you have to have something, some sort of trigger. So for me, it's the early wake up and making and doing something that's really difficult. That for me, like once I reset that, it's funny how everything else is just so much better and easier. And you go back to old ways because you've had that adversity to kind of reset and smack you metaphorically in the head.
Well, I mean, like physical resets are obviously the way to get everything else lined up because physical is the bottom of the pyramid, right? If you can do that, then all the other stuff does kind of fall into place. And I think exercise is an important part of that. But
huge.
I do think like this thing you mentioned kind of casually there is waking up early. And I honestly think that one of the things that's been good for me, despite the fact that I hate it, is waking up every day for the show really early.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't stand getting out of bed. It's the worst thing. I'm not a morning person, if that kind of thing even exists. But fucking hell, if I don't get out of bed and I don't start my day properly, I always feel like I've wasted half the day.
Well, if you think about, Gareth, like most people, how they wake up. They wake up tired. They go to their phone straight away. So they're getting that blue light bullshit. And the stuff that they're getting on their phone is like junk food for the brain, right? So it's like social media notifications. It could be a News 24 story. It could be a WhatsApp group where someone's sharing some bullshit. So you're already starting the day on the back foot. Like, your endorphins are kind of like artificially spiked. So yes, getting up in the morning and stimulating yourself, be amazed.
I love this comment.
What to add?
Captain Cook says, what? No depressed comedian today? Oh. We have, I was talking to the producers. I was talking to Ryan and Dari in our meeting on Tuesday. I was like, listen, I love these comedians, but they all come on here and unburden themselves with their like depression and anxiety. I mean, all of them, with very few exceptions, have come on. And you know, you get comedians on the show. You're like, well, these people make us feel good. They'll make us laugh. It's like a great Friday. Do we go into the K-hole with these people sometimes?
Yeah, I would say, I think they're on the wrong show. We need to invite them Monday morning, Dr. Hanan, and then they can just let it all out. But to answer your question, Gareth, I think it's also part of like community. There's some people out there, like I know I'm one of those people, I can set a goal. But also it's easier to kind of stick to it when there's also somebody else kind of holding you accountable. And I think that's what a lot of people forget in this reset, is getting that accountability partner. And you have to want it more. I mean, no one else can do the work for you. But like even gymming, you tend to stick it out when you have someone that you go to the gym with, you know, because there's days where you're like, oh, I had a bad day. I'm not going to go. Even though you committed to the goal of getting healthier and fitter, it's not an easy, smooth ride. And having somebody else say, Chief, today we're going, whether it's raining or, yeah, your body's stiff, that's good, you're doing something right, and they push you a bit more, also helps. And I think a lot of people forget that because we live in a me, I'm going through this. So,
right,
you know, and they block off.
And we expect everybody else to give a shit about the fact that we're going through something. I mean, this is the wildest thing of all about the internet, is that you've got people who have no real relationships. They don't look after themselves. They've got no goals and ambitions. They don't really do anything. They just exist. They eat, they sleep. They masturbate furiously. They eat, they sleep, they masturbate furiously. They take a shit. That's all they do. It's just this routine, and it's not a good routine. And then they somehow get on the internet and expect everyone else in the world to take a really massive interest in their lives. And this is what I think is, it's almost like a cycle of non-virtue. You know, you get this virtuous cycle where you're putting in good things and good things are coming out. This is the opposite. You're putting in bad things and bad things come out.
I think the one thing I've loved, like growing up, I think it's just like in the Black community, is that there's this, I would say, philosophy that you never stop a wedding. So it doesn't matter what happens. If we're getting married on the 17th of April, whether someone died, whether someone gave birth, whether you are depressed or whatnot, once it's paid and set, you never stop a wedding, because they say life continues to happen. And if you know, postpone it that day, you'll always postpone it because something happened to somebody else and something happened again. And I think that's a good way to look at it, is that life is continuously happening, but it doesn't mean that you need to stop completely. Like, people are going to carry on with their lives, and you also need to do the same. Yes, you hit a pothole. You were in the dark. You were in the basement, as some people would say, but it's life is happening and it's moving, and you can't expect everybody else to stop for you and be like, oh my gosh, Simpia, you're going through it, we're going to just pause and we're not going to give you a deadline. No, you've got to, you know, life is going to keep on moving. So you also have to keep on moving.
Yeah, you got to keep paying the rent, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's why I have huge respect for hookers. They don't ever stop. There can be an economic crisis. There can be huge prosperity. There can be politician X or Y in office. There can be blood on the streets. The hookers keep doing their job. They are completely consistent.
I can confirm this, because this rogue right here, basically, if you go down there, turn left after dark, you'll see the Makoshas lined up. And it's cold nowadays, huh? And those outfits do not change. It is freezing at the moment, and they'll be out there. They're not giving you the, oh, I've got a sniffy nose, oh, I've got a bit of a cough today. They are out there pushing. Yeah. There's a great work ethic to be tapped into there along this road.
More people should take a leaf out of their books. All right, Ben, enjoy the rest of your weekend.
All right, everybody. We'll catch up next week.
All right, there we go. Ciao. Ben Karpinski, everybody. Now, there's quite a lot going on at this time of year in respect of radio. This is always when radio contracts are renewed and people are put on shows, taken off shows. They leave. This is like crunch time. So if you know anybody who works in the radio business, just be nice to them over the next couple of days, because you never know what the hell they're going through. And I can say this for a fact, because I know what assholes management are at these radio stations. They're the worst people you'll ever meet in your life. They know nothing. They add no value. They are like bureaucrats, only less effective. And very few of them have ever been able to achieve anything. And then they always take the credit when the talent does the job of bringing in audience. And they never take the blame when things don't go right. So just want to say right up front, we should actually reevaluate management at this time of year when it comes to broadcasting, not the talent. But anyway, we got a guy on now who is well known to his audience as Malume. He is the ex-host of the YFM breakfast show, DJ Ankle Tap. And that's a name that he got at high school because he was born with a club foot. That's a whole other story we got to talk to him about. He had many operations over the years to his feet. So whenever he played sport, the other kids used to say, they'd call him Ankle Tap, right? And he's the first white guy to single-handedly man a primetime slot at what is generally known as Gauteng's leading urban black youth radio station, YFM, a station that's got an incredible reputation and has always had and continues to be cool. But this guy is no longer there anymore. He also co-hosted alongside someone we know well, Candace Kardashian, to Metro FM. She actually sent me a message over the weekend, last weekend, to say she got this news, or it could have been during this week. I was like, wow, this is pretty cool for her. Ankle Tap, how are you doing, dude?
What's up, guys? What's up, guys?
Nice to see you, man. Good to actually.
You want to do program manager shuffles in April? I think we should actually fucking do that.
And you know what the funny thing is? No one will care because all of them are the same. They're all as bad as each other.
Fair enough.
So listen. Have we ever actually met? Because everybody thinks everyone in radio knows everybody in radio, and I don't think we have.
We have actually met. We met once, but it wasn't anything to do with radio. It was like a Discovery. I think it was an event at Discovery, and you were there emceeing, and like CEOs were cycling their asses off and for money. But yeah, I think it was that one time that we met.
Well, you know what? I'm so useless at this shit that I always say, oh, well, we've never met before, and then find out later that we have. I'm useless. Sorry. I don't even know
what
I did.
It's okay. You were co-hosting with Sumizi, so I'm not too sure you remember much from that day.
Yeah, that's pretty true, too. So listen, dude, YFM, what's the story here? Because you have been there for 12 years. That's like a big chapter of your life. And Is it a decision you made, or is it a decision they made, or is it something that you just thought it's time to move on, both of you? What happened here?
Well, I mean, to tell you the truth, I think it's a bit of both, because when I first joined the station, I had this crazy idea where I said to them I was going to do 12 years. I said I want to take someone from like grade one to matric. And in the early years, I used to be like, I'm going to be here for 12. Which is crazy to think. I mean, I think Fresh did like 9 years. I think even DJ Spoo did 7 or 8 years. So nobody really does 12 years on Y. And then you know how it is. We get one year contract. And then after I came back to the breakfast show for my second stint, I said to them, look, man, fucker, I'm done with these 1 year contracts. So I signed a 3 year contract 3 years ago. And I think it was one of those things where I kind of told them it was my last one. I said to them, this will take me to 12. Definitely.
Cool.
Yeah, it's my last contract. And then, you know, come to sort of late last year, they kind of called me in and they were like, okay, cool. Well, this is it, right? The breakfast show, we've made plans. We're going to launch a new show. At first, I was like, what the fuck do you mean? And they were like, no, you said this is your last contract. So I sort of sat back and I thought about it and I was like, Okay, at least they're telling me early. They did offer me something else. I'm not going to say what I was offered because there were a couple of expletives that came out my mouth after that. But, you know,
some shitty show, because once you've done breakfast, everything else is a demotion, right?
Pretty much. But, you know, I sat back, took me a couple of days to think about it, and I thought, you know, I told them I was leaving. So, you know, and I told them to make another plan. And I do think that the person that's going to be doing Breakfast on Y from Monday has been ready to take on a breakfast show. I think she's phenomenal. So if I was a programs manager, I'd be putting her in. So, I'm happy about that. But I guess that's when I started to spread my wings and see what's out there, which is quite scary after only knowing. I mean, you must understand, I went straight from university. I was a student when I joined Y. So, you know, I don't really know the radio world as well as everybody else in terms of having been to a couple of stations and so that. So
I don't want to get too much into like us talking radio, because then I think we'll bore everybody else to death. But the other thing that's happened is that really, like, radio is actually a very difficult thing to do. You have to win every listener. You have to keep them. You have to keep them entertained. You're up against, hopefully, other people who are as good at their jobs as you are, if not, a bit better. So you work really hard. And it seems to me like a lot of people are being put on the air now on radio stations by these idiot program directors I was talking about earlier, because they've got a big social media following. That's really the only qualification required. So you get these complete ignoramuses, these people who have nothing to say, nothing to contribute, no value to add. They don't have any opinions or thoughts on anything really significant or important. They don't really know anything about music. They don't care about any of that stuff. They're only interested in themselves. And they get put on because they've got like a couple of 100,000 followers. And that's, you know, the only qualification they need. Do you think that's true, or do you see real talent coming through?
I think it's true, man. I think you can't deny the fact that influencers are getting traditionally what would be seen as massive radio shows, or at least slots for us jocks that we kind of look at and we aspire to. I mean, you can't be doing primetime slots on like fucking national radio and you're an influencer. It is what it is. But at the same time, I don't think radio talent is dead. And I do think there are certain stations and certain programmers that are championing really like good up and coming radio talent. As to whether or not those people will progress, I think that's where the problem comes in. Because honestly, Gareth, I mean, even when I was putting my new team together, and that's partly why I've gone to join UFM in the Northwest, because of the people that work there, and it's such a fucking exciting project.
I don't know anything about
it. And it's real radio talent.
Tell me about this.
And I've been listening to campus radio. When you listen to campus radio, I hear serious talent. What disappoints me is then when the massive, massive stations launch their lineups every year, you find that either a fossil influencer that's had every fucking show known to man comes back into the fray, or some new influencer gets the slot. But if you listen to podcasts, if you listen to Cliff Central, if you listen to campus radio, Vow, UJFM, there's fucking seriously talented jocks out there. So I think the problem is it doesn't go up the ladder. Up the ladder, it just, you find yourself 28, 29 years old on community radio.
All right. So I want you to tell us about UFM, which is where you're going to be doing your next thing, because I think a lot of people who are not – you're familiar with this, including me, know nothing about the station and why it would be, because it's a big move for them to be able to bring you on. And obviously, you know, they're not a well-known station. They're regional. So it's a different kind of game. But I think it's amazing that you're starting again, basically, because you've got to win over a whole new audience there. And I don't know what their format is or any of that stuff. I like what you said just now, though, about like these people who they're influencers more than anything else. And I think that's getting so tired. There's so much more stuff out there now. People are exposed to international stuff. Before, you didn't really have to worry about what people anywhere else in the world were doing. If you had a good radio signal and you were the only game in town, which is the case for so many stations today, you still won an audience. You still did what you needed to do to tick the boxes. And I also think, like, the truth about radio is that the people that sound the same to me as they did 15, 20 years ago. And I stopped listening to radio probably 15 years ago while I was still on because I got bored. Like I was, if it wasn't happening on my show, it wasn't something new from somewhere else. If I hear one more guy doing like this day in history or telling me or mispronouncing the artist on a song and then trying to tell me facts that they've just Googled off the internet, I'm going to commit suicide or throw that fucking radio into a wall.
Yeah. You know what, Garrett, you're right. And that's why I'm going to something like UFM. So let me give you some background on them. Originally, about 11 years ago, when I think it was 5 or 6 new commercial radio licenses came out, one in the Northwest, one in Gauteng, one in Western Cape, one in KZN, and one in Limpopo. And those went on to become Capricorn FM, Power FM, Smile FM, Vuma FM, and Northwest. They called it Northwest Radio, right? And I think the problem for them is the format they went with originally was an 80% Setswana format, and I think they were trying to directly challenge Mutsweding FM, which I guess didn't work for them, and the station really wasn't in a good place. And then about 5 years ago, the company that now owns it as UFM, they made their play, and they were one of the original bidders 11 years ago, and they finally got the station. They rebranded it. It's an 80% English format now, and they named it UFM right before COVID hit. So it's only 3 years old in its current, you know, shape and form. Right. But it's also got some amazing people that really did bring me on board. My original programs manager, who actually left Prime Media, he got on board, and he was one of the first guys to give me a phone call.
Do they have some money? I mean, can they pay you?
Yeah, well, listen, I took the job, and I'm moving to Hartbeespoort Dam today.
Wait, the important question: are they still paying you what you were earning, Chief, or are you doing a downgrade?
More than 3 times what I was earning, so don't worry about that. No, but look, that wasn't really a main driver for me. For me, it was the ambition and the kind of radio. So, and I think Gareth, you can appreciate this. It's for me, it's always been about what I get to do in those 4 hours in my breakfast show and how I get to tell my stories and connect with my listeners. And it's all fair and well that you could get what the industry sees as this big promotion. But now you go and sit in a place where they don't let you run your own desk. You know, they'll fire liners two minutes into your link. You don't have creative control. And then you're going to feel like a bit of a zombie. Whereas where I'm going, I can make the kind of radio that I want to make. And it's almost as if I get to enter this community. And by the way, I'm from the Northwest, born and raised Northwest boy. So I'm actually going home. Okay. But I'm going to get to do community style projects on a commercial radio budget. So, you know, I'm going to be able to go into communities, get bursaries. Plus, there's, you know, there's huge industry that side, mining, agriculture.
It's all good and well. I'm not interested in the whole community. Just do a good show, all right? Don't bother with all this charity shit. What do you look like, the United Nations?
So, you don't get called Malume without it, eh?
Oh, well, sure. I mean, listen, you've done extremely well so far, so I have no doubt that you'll continue to do so. But you're telling me that their offices are near the Hartbeespoort Dam?
No, that's where I'm going to be living. The studios are in Rustenburg. We've got a couple of studios. We've got studios in Rustenburg, and then we've got studios in North Riding as well. Plans to expand to Sun City and other parts of the province as well. Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, dude, this sounds bloody amazing. So, tell me about your club foot, because I don't know anything about this. So, what is a club foot? And I believe it's like something you're born with, and then you have to, to deal with your whole lifelong. It's not something you can just get rid of, and it has, you know, it has some pretty profound effects on the way you walk and run and all of that shit.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, nowadays clubfoot really isn't. Modern medicine has made huge advancements. Nowadays, when you're born, they just put your feet in like boots, right? But essentially, yeah, I I needed massive surgeries, multiple surgeries from the time that I was born. Both feet were, it was bilateral club foot, so both feet. So
what does that look like? Deformed. Does it look like?
Essentially, if this is your foot, right? My mm-hmm. foot, both of them were born all the way upside down and up. I had too many bones in one foot.
You're like, that they had like a mermaid.
Essentially like a mermaid, yeah. And then the name sort of came from being bullied at school. You know, ankle tap in rugby, you hit someone on the ankle. So whenever I played sport, that was it. You know, just ankle tap him, ankle tap him. And then it was actually fresh. I was listening to Five. You were doing breakfast. He was doing afternoon drive. And I was listening to Five FM. Mm-hmm. Sure, I must have been in matric or grade 11 at the time. And somebody asked Fresh where he got the name Fresh from. And he said, well, he was a fat kid and he was bullied. You know, in Botswana growing up, the nickname for an overweight person was Fresh. And he made it cool. And then they stopped calling him it when it was his DJ name. So I kind of replicated that. I was like, well, I'm going to be DJ Ankle Tap. And I started playing house music from a very young age. And I always needed a DJ name. So I kind of just adopted it. And it stuck.
I like that. That's very cool. Because it's kind of like, you know, when you hear people taking on the N word because they're sick of being insulted by it and then turn it into their kind of thing. So they have control of it. So, all right. Just in terms of Northwest again, can you speak Setswana? Is your Setswana quite good?
Oh,
fantastic.
Did you hear what he said, Gareth?
Mm-hmm. No, okay. I got a little bit of that. You remember, Tabumu Disani, my former producer, taught me quite a lot of Setswana, so I can understand a little more than most. But that's pretty damn cool, dude. And since then, you've had all these operations and everything, but you don't walk funny or anything, do you?
Yeah, I do. I have a bit of my own unique little walk. But the last set of surgeries was when I was about 10, 12 years old. So it was mostly very early formative years that I had surgeries. And I've been able to walk and be fine ever since.
All right. So you stated that your final show, you had the goal to take a generation from grade one to matric. You told us about that just now. But what do you – like, you seem to be someone who works on the basis of, like, this is what I've got a 10-year, 5-year or whatever plan. So what do you want to do with the Northwest? Do you want to, like, get those people in the Northwest to stop being an embarrassing province and be more like Gauteng? And what are you going to do to get them there?
Well, you know what? The station's super ambitious. So if for nothing else, I hope to break that sort of glass ceiling for a lot of frustrated, talented presenters in places like Gauteng that don't necessarily consider some of these regional stations and their plans and what they want to do. So I want to help put the station on the map, but I just want to make good radio, Gareth. I just want to make really good radio, get paid well to do so, get to do really cool things while doing radio. And at the same time, just watch the space. I think the success will be the growth of the station. I've signed a very long-term deal with the station, so I'm going to be there. I'm not just there, you know, because I need a job. It's a project that I'm taking on for quite a while. And we'll see where the station goes in those years. But all I can say is there's a lot of ambition there, and I like that.
V-Rus says you're going to have amazing views of the sewage and the hyacinth in the heart of Beersport Dam. That's very
exciting. It's not that bad, guys. I was literally there the whole of yesterday.
Are you lying to yourself, really Chief, or are you lying to us?
Guys, when last were you there? And also, I just want to address this. The hyacinth issue just started getting press, right, recently. It started getting press again, which is great because it's helping, right? And the bug they've introduced is working and all that stuff. But people act as if that hyacinth only just came about. It's been there for like 20-something fucking years. It's been there for 20 years, and it gets up at its worst about 40% of the dam, which is shocking. Those levels are nowhere near that at the moment. And in the winter months, it's almost non-existent. Right. And it's been like that.
Don't get all sensitive about your new home. or your old home or whatever.
It's okay.
So
I bought a boat, guys. Don't remind me about the hyacinth.
You're not going to get your boat. Your boat's engine's going to be completely fucked up by that hyacinth. I have family connections to the Northwest as well. So I mean, that whole Hardebeestpoort Dam area, I probably spent the first 4 years of my life with those mountains kind of hanging over me. It was beautiful. And I love that place. It's very special. There's a feeling of like real old, you know, those mountains are fucking ancient and it's a very special place. I think it's going to be lots of fun.
Definitely.
Carl says there's no way that there's money in the Northwest. Are they paying you in hyacinth?
You do know that we have a little thing called platinum as well, eh, guys?
Yeah, but I've got to warn you. Like, my audience don't give a shit about the truth. They're after their own narrative here. So,
listen, all we have is hyacinth, platinum, and taters. This is what we have, but we've got it.
Didn't you guys have? Well, I say you guys, like you've been responsible for this, but they had Sputler. What was the guy? The previous premier. What was that dude? He was part of the like Premier League, who was the former Supra Mahumapelo. That's his name. Supra. Do you remember him? Who's the new Premier? Who's the guy in charge now? Well, I think we lost him.
Oh, did we lose him?
I think so.
Northwest, the jokes. He's like, I'm out of here, yo. Y'all doing too much. Y'all saying too much.
Jesus.
Oh, wow, man.
What I love about the people who listen to the show is that they could care less. We get serious sometimes and they're like talking complete shit. And sometimes when we're talking complete shit, they're all getting serious. There's no like measure for this stuff. It's just absolutely brilliant. The Northwest is rolling in cash, says Virus. Well, I believe certainly during Supra's time it was. You got to get the vegans, says David, into the dam to eat lunch and dinner. Hyacinth will be gone in no time. Just convince them it's a good source of protein. You can't eat that shit, though. There's nothing you can do with it. It's disgusting. Shaq's Life says, we're lucky to have a podcast like this one. No fuss or bullshit. Not asking us to subscribe and no word from our sponsors every 5 minutes.
Okay, well, I'm not sure about the subscribe part, but...
Well, yeah, listen, you have to keep reminding me to tell people to do that, but normally we don't. So, yeah, and that's kind of what it's like. We'll see if we can get him back, but in the meantime, I also have to tell you there's no George Meany this week, so don't expect Borge to be joining us this morning. He has got other important things to do, so he won't be on the show with us. Simpiwe, can I ask you about something that's a very touchy subject for... most people, whether they're in a relationship or they're about to get into one or they're thinking about it, is this idea of body count. And we're not talking about how many people you've killed. When people talk about body count, obviously they mean how many people you've slept with. And this can be a deal breaker in some relationships. Everybody lies. As far as I can tell, every bit of research would point to the fact that people lie. Men exaggerate with their guy friends. They'll say, oh, no. Do you know, if it was five girls that the guy's been with, he'll say 25. But with a girl, underestimate, he'll say, no, it was only two. Girls will also do that. And they'll do it even more dramatically because girls are terrified what other girls will think of them if they've had too many relationships, too much sex. And they're also terrified about what guys will think of them because they don't want to be called sluts. Of course, guys don't call each other sluts. They go, oh, that's great. High five. So it's very different behavior. So what is the intel on this? Have you got some research for us? Because previously your research has been up to shit about like the length of your fingers or your size of your toes. No, really.
I feel like I'm sharing, you know, very important information with the masses. And once again, I'm back with like a study that they did with like 200,000 people, 100,000 men, 100,000 women. And in this particular case, they were trying to find out if your name actually can predict how many people you will sleep with or have slept with. So,
in other words, bullshit. Did you get this off of TikTok or off, where does this come from?
Wow, journalists never reveals their sources, Gareth.
All right, I'll take
this is credible stuff. So the average man sleeps with about 5.2 people, right? So that's just the average Joe. And then the average woman sleeps with about 4.2 people. So that's the average. But the people that I'm about to name, right? If so, you have this name.
Hang on a second. This doesn't make any sense. If the number between men and women is different, then who are these guys sleeping with that are the extra one, you know?
Gareth. We live in a time where they are they, them, non-binary. Oh, so don't ask no questions.
that's a tiny number of people compared to the overall population who are mostly straight. Let's not bugger around with statistics here. And the fact is, if these guys are sleeping with more women, they're just being more honest is my assertion. Whereas the girls are going, well, I should really say five, but I'm going to say four.
Well, bullshit. Let me just share. If you have any of these names, ladies and gentlemen, I think you should just cross your legs and just, you know, shut the door. So coming in 10th place, right? 10th place, if you have the name, I'll start with the ladies, right? Let's start with the ladies.
Renee. In other words, are these the sluts' names? These are the names of people who've slept with the highest body count. These are slut names. If you call your child this, you know what you're condemning them to, a future of being really, really loose.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yes. Right. Yes. So if you change your name today. So also if you have this name, just change, right? Especially if this is not your brand. Coming in 10th place is Renee with 8.9 partners. Nine is Emini with 9.1 partners. Eight is Megan.
Hang on. Emini. Yes. That's the name?
Yes.
Now, this is going to piss off all the Meghan Markle fans. All right, how many is the average Meghan's?
For 9.2. So Meghan, you're busy, hey? In seventh place is Jessica with 9.3. In sixth place we have Lydia with 9.4. And coming in our top five is Sheila with 9.4 as well. We have then Diana in fourth place. 9.5. We have Tamar in third place with 9.7 bodies. And in second place is Angela with 9.8. And taking first place, ladies and gentlemen, is Vanessa with 10.
Ooh, those slutty Vanessa. All right. So Ankle Tap Bryce is back, and we've got Eugene Koza. Hey, Eugene Koza.
Oh, my God. Perfect timing.
How you doing, guys?
Good, man. What the hell are you doing up this early on a Friday morning?
I don't know. Tell me. First of all, isn't Ankle Tap supposed to be at work now?
Oh, no.
Nah, I'm on leave, bro.
Let me just tell you.
It's on the day off.
We both interrupted a very important conversation. Simpiwe was giving us the sluttiest names in the world. So she's compiled a body count of all of the... You know, these are the women and men whose names would indicate that they are the sluttiest. They sleep with the most people. The highest body count is with these names. So we just want to go through the men's ones, and then I want to talk to you about that International Comedy Festival, which
I don't know about Lydia, though. I don't know about Lydia. Why Lydia in it, though?
It doesn't sound don't judge.
Lydia is a church-going lady.
Have you been with Lydia? Are you now you're just like, damn, Lydia, that night, you know, you backed up.
Never. That's why all the other names I was going, not Lydia.
Listen, John Bad Dog says we had two Megans at school and they definitely added to the average. They did about 15 each.
All right. Let's get into the men, okay? Because maybe your name is going to come up here, all right? And now we know that you are playing. Right, play. Cool. So in 10th place, Kit Thomas with 10.
Thomas.
Right? Okay. In 9th place, we have Jack with 10.2. In 8th place, we have Marcus with 10.3.
Jack and the Beanstalk.
You know? In 7th place, we have James with 10.4.
James.
Again, James. That's a good biblical name. I wouldn't say that James is a busy sleeping around, but there we go. Who knew?
Mm-hmm. In 6th place, we have Steve with 10.6. And making it in the top 5 is Luke with 10.7. Number four, right. Dennis with 10.8.
What?
Dennis. I know, right? Dennis. Imagine. Guys, Dennis be getting it. Don't worry.
Was this Danny. 50-year-old men in Northern England? Because
this is that Sex in Afrikaans. If you watch that documentary, Sex in Afrikaans. This is the ones that are pumping me the blow train. They're going there in Brakpan.
Hey, we have three more to go. Wait. Right. Let me share the top three, okay? In third place is Matt with 10.9, okay? In second place, we have Charles with 11.1.
No. This is all English. There should be a
Charlie.
There should at least be one or two loisos or like something like that.
No, where they're
you
nothing.
Know, black men don't cheat. Black men don't cheat.
Okay,
Gwede was getting nudes last year, so hey man, come on, you player from the Himalaya, that one.
And then in first place, right, the biggest player out there, Kikris with 11.3. There you have it. Change your name today. If you have that name and you know that's not your brand, change it today.
Or if you're not getting any, change your name to Chris. All right, so listen, Ankle Tap, while you were away, I'm going to call you Bryce. I don't want to call you your like.
We can't do that.
Listen, while you were away,
it's fine. That name wasn't on that list. It's okay.
You're safe. So while you were trying to reconnect, people were being rude about the Northwest. Are we going to put that behind us and move on, if you don't mind? Right. Okay. So Eugene Koza is here to tell us about the weekend's Joburg International Comedy Festival. So who we got on the lineup here? Who's going to be joining you?
Yeah, tomorrow it's going to be Rob Van Vieren, Lindsay Msimang. It's going to be myself over there, hosted by Jason Goliath. So it's going to be dope.
Nice.
Can I ask, does Rob Van Vieren put kombucha on his rider now?
I think he puts no shirt in his rider.
What does he call himself? Your
Namaste Bay.
Namaste Bay. It's the best fucking thing on Instagram.
Apparently, Namaste Bay is huge in Europe. Eh?
Really?
Yeah. His followership in Europe took off. Most of his comments and his likes are from Europe and his followership now. So they're loving the Namaste Bay, man.
Good for him.
But Cape Town is Europe as well, so you know it's an extension.
All right, but we've got you said Lihle Msimang, Eugene Koza obviously is the big crowd here. So I mean,
No. I'm just a humble squire of the community. I'm just there just to grace the stage. Nothing major. All right.
Well, listen, thanks for telling us about this. Where can we get tickets, etc.?
Tickets are with web tickets. The festival starts today. You're going to catch international acts from Australia, from all over the continent, from today up until the 1st. So check it out.
You've got Basket Mouth from Nigeria on there. We've had him on the show before a couple of times. He's fantastic. It's also
local. I'm still trying to get to the bottom of the name, though. I don't understand.
Yeah.
But maybe I'll ask him this weekend.
Yeah, well, maybe if you ask him, then he can try and guess where Ankle Tap comes from, and if they can figure each other out.
Yeah, actually, Bryce. I mean, sorry, Ankle Tap.
He's already explained it to us. You listen to the podcast.
I will.
We'll see you at the next Uncancelled, my friend.
See you next time, my friend. Looking forward to the next one. It's going to be major.
Good to see you. There we
go. Good luck with your next job there, Ankle Tap. Enjoy the Northwest and your new boat.
Yeah.
Very nice. My hyacinth-filled boat.
He'll invite us for a booze cruise on his boat. Watch.
Dope.
Yeah, well, looking forward to it. That's if you come before the engine gets fucked. So
you need to have it in the water. Time it properly, that's how you...
Right, I love it. Here's Eugene Koza, who is at the Johannesburg International Comedy Festival. You find out more by going to JICF. That stands for Johannesburg International Comedy Festival.co.za. Very, very easy. You can't possibly go wrong. All right, dude. So listen, this is very exciting. When do you start your new show?
Monday the 3rd. Yeah. So just after the weekend.
hardly any time off. You said you had time off, but I mean, it's like, what do you get? Like a week?
Yeah, pretty much nothing. Just a week, in which case I've been moving. So yeah, no time off. Okay. But every day is a holiday now.
Tell me you moved properly, because the people who moved into the house next to me came with buckies and things, and that makes me nervous. You got to get a truck and do it properly, right? If people come with buckies, like Pumi said on the show yesterday, she said to me, when people come with trailers and buckies, then they've probably got shit furniture, which means they probably, you know.
Well, you know what? Pumi, today I'm that ghetto guy. If the neighbors see me pulling in today, they're going to say, oh my God. And the thing is that I've actually, since buying the house, I've furnished the house like completely from the get go, like with take a lot and like delivery. Oh. So the house is pretty much set, right? The only thing I'm moving in today, I'm that guy with black dustbin bags, boy. I'm the one arriving today with stuff in black dustbin bags.
Oh my God.
Because it's just random bits and bobs.
Are you also the type of friend to call all your friends that have buckies? Because part of the reason why people don't want to buy buckies is because they know they're like, hey, chief, I'm moving. Yo, can you help me out? You know? And it's just like, but I don't move furniture, chief. And they're like, but you know.
I've got one guy. Umavutela has been my bucky guy for the last, I don't know how long it is. You gotta have a Bucky guy. I think he's even saved on my phone as Mavutela Bucky.
Like, there we go.
So he's my guy. I've used him all the time. Today, like, it's just a car. Whatever is left here fits in the car. Like I said, it's literally just some clothes and stuff. And the house has just been, I've moved in over the whole week.
Nice. All right. Well, listen, dude, this is very exciting. Do you have a view? Is it very pretty there?
It's on the water. So I've got like a pool and then a jetty right in front of the water. I've got the I look out onto the mountain and the dam.
This is good. This is very, very good.
So I look out onto a rugby field, depending on what time of the day it is and how strong the wind is. But it's either a dam or a rugby field.
All right, listen, Simpiwe, a lot of people are criticizing you because they are complaining that your surveys are useless and pointless. And in this case, I mean, obviously this was done overseas. We're not even sure what country. But now you've got a whole lot of people changing their name to Chris. So, you know, this is not necessarily the kind of outcome we wanted for you.
You guys can throw a party and get those stickers. You know, the stickers that say, hello, my name is. And you just put Chris on every single one of them.
Guaranteed.
This only works if you are single. I am judging you if you're a married man and your name is Chris, you know, Matt, Luke, you know, Charles. Excuse me, what are you doing? You can't be out there being a player.
You judge the people that married them.
Yes, that's a good point too. So if you are married to one of those people with those names, that doesn't mean their behavior has changed. They probably have an even bigger average now. They didn't answer your stupid survey. That's what happened.
Yeah, that one is tricky. Hey, that one, don't do that. Don't just.
There's a couple out there, Chris and Lindsay. They're reassessing shit today.
They're like, I was listening to the show, okay, and I think you lied. Is your name even Matt? Okay, let's start there. Like, you know.
Well, what if what was this? Vanessa was the sluttiest name, right? So, what if there's a Chris and Vanessa who are listening to us?
No, I think they're not.
Well, I guarantee you there's a Chris, there's a Vanessa in every Chris's history.
All right, Simpiwe, you got to come to the crunch here. So what's your body count?
Oh, my. excuse me, I didn't quite catch that. Gareth, what were you saying? We'll talk about Northwest. Oh, yes. I'd like to go visit one day. Yes, that's great.
Watch Simpiwe. I want to know, seriously.
You're going to add to your body count. There's a lot of Chris's in the Northwest, and they've got nothing else to do.
I'm not sure if they're my type, you know, so it might just.
First of all, do you guys really think anyone actually keeps count? And if they do you really believe they'll tell anyone the truth? Anyone?
No.
I mean, first of all, I honestly can't tell you a number. I don't keep like a spreadsheet of all of these things. Spreadsheet. I don't I don't keep a list in my head. I don't know what the number is. I haven't thought about it. And frankly, I don't think even think the number is that interesting. Like, it's about quality, not quantity. I mean, you could have slept with 150 of the most dreadful people in the whole world, and it's gonna impact badly on you. You could have slept with one amazing, incredible person, and you know, you could be everybody's envy. I don't know that it matters so much. Also, I don't think people are honest.
I actually have a friend who does a reset every year. So every year he's like, no, I'm a virgin, yeah. It's a new year.
That's what I was going to say.
I don't know what you're talking about. You said I was busy with Vanessa. Who that? Mm-mm.
You can keep your count for the year. That's fine. If you say in 2023, what's your number? He's okay, I can remember that. But I agree with Gareth. Quality over quantity. And does it really matter? And I do. I will say, I think it's the most loaded, doomed question. I don't know why couples do this. Why do they get together and all of a sudden they want to sit down and have that conversation? Like, why?
You shouldn't.
Nobody's going to be happy.
Shouldn't ask, because what answer is going to please you? Like, there is no right answer for this. Because if you say 3, then she's like, oh, I thought it would be 2. If you say 10, she's going to be, ugh. Only 10.
But I can tell you why.
And if I say 1, side, baby, it's only you, then they say, what's wrong with this guy?
I think the reason why ladies ask is because they don't want to be with, we all know that guys get the whole player card, but you also don't want to be with someone when you walk down the street, everyone's like, I've been with him. There's a pride in being exclusive, you know, and you want that for your partner. You also want to be like, you know what? I bagged someone who's not in the streets, but they got some skills.
You're going to be in like small town South Africa a lot there in the Northwest, Ankle Tap. You got to watch yourself because, you know, in small towns, everybody talks about these things. Mm-hmm. A place like Joburg, nobody gives a shit because like.
I have one restaurant for Tinder dates, bro. One. So I've got to like, I have to properly like, I have to work it out. Be like, fuck, okay, that corner and then that corner. And then I can't sit at the same table twice.
Yeah, this is going to be a challenge.
In fact, in small towns like Hartbeespoort, they actually tend to they just keep showing you the same. It's like a carousel. Mm. Even if you swipe left, and you're going to see that person every 5 swipes.
And I'll tell you something else. Like, no one's going to travel at night to come for a booty call. So you better have prep. Like, you've thought about this. You're going to Joburg on this night every couple of days. You know, you've got to have a plan.
It's called gainful employment and gigs. I've worked it out. Actually, I spoke to an Uber driver the other day. No, I spoke to an Uber driver here in Joburg. I said, have you ever had a trip out to Harties? What's that going to cost me? And he said, well, it's going to cost you about $800. So that's all I got to know. If I hit you up on WhatsApp for a booty call and I say, I'm sending the Uber now.
Yo, you are committed to.
You must know.
You're way too committed for my liking. Like, that is team too much. Why are we driving like over an hour for a booty call even? Because even that thing, you know,
my second name is Chris.
Chris. You can't help it. It's in the name. All right, listen, you mad bastards. We've got to wrap this up. Have an awesome Friday, everybody. Be safe. Don't do anything that Ankle Tap would do. And we will catch up again next week. On a Monday morning, 6 o'clock. Make sure you don't miss his first show on UFM in the Northwest. And thanks for being on the show this morning, dude. It's good to
finally have you
join us. It's really cool to talk to you and kind of get to know you.
Awesome, man. See you guys soon. Ciao. Have a good weekend.
Bye bye. All right, Simpiwe. Cheers. We'll see you on Friday next week.
Yep.
There we go.
Bye-bye.
Enjoy the birthday weekend. I hope you got some parties planned. That's all.
Oh, yes. I partied last weekend, partied this weekend, and let's go. That's all I can say.
Very nice. CliffCentral.com.